It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's why I don't like Allison and Gabby anymore.
Okay.
Because they're getting their book published before me.
All right. Well.
So, screw them. That's what I have to say there.
Do you think you're going to read it?
I don't know. It's a young adult book.
Yeah.
And it is made up entirely of modern correspondence. So, probably not.
No.
Exegesis was interesting. You ever read Did I make you read Exegesis?
No.
It's like a 20-minute read. Because that's the thing. When they're made up of these kind of correspondences, they often go by very quickly. Exegesis is a great book. I wish I could find my copy. That is made up entirely of emails between a just-achieved sentience artificial intelligence and the person who programmed and is monitoring the original program. And it's very cool.
Hmm.
But yeah, much shorter read. But yeah, young adult and made up of texts and emails. I'm like, probably not. I'm not saying I would avoid it at all costs. It's just probably not high up enough on the list to ever make it to book I'm reading.
Right.
Alright, so, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that just starts off by openly saying that they hate people who are more successful than them. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 306. So, in 306 episodes, we've only lost two. There's episode 12.
Yes.
And now there's episode 305.
And 305 was not nearly as good as 12. 12 was amazing.
No, 12 was legendary. We know that. We know that.
It is weird, though. I've been sitting around, I'm like, oh, we should talk about it. No, we already talked about it. No, wait. We talked about that in the episode that we've now lost. We had a good 45 minutes into an episode.
And it wasn't too bad.
No, but it wasn't great. We both rambled a lot. I mean, I know we always do.
We hadn't even drawn any questions.
Yeah. And suddenly, Audacity was being weird. And so I tried to pause it, and it made the whole thing crash. And then the recovery didn't work. And even today, when I opened it up, it was like, hey, we have this project file here. Do you want to try? I'm like, no, you keep screwing with me over that. Doesn't work. So yeah, we lost that episode. Luckily, the universe did not provide. The other universe provided.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how that line's supposed to go.
That's not what happened with 12. With 12, we actually stayed a little later and just redid the whole thing.
Yes. But that was... This one was supposed... Well, back then we didn't have the evil universe
yet. No, that's right.
And also, this was when I was supposed to be getting on a plane the next day, and I had to pack, so there wasn't really time to do another one.
But those guys are always there, always ready.
Mm-hmm.
They're not happy about it, obviously.
More ready than us in a lot of cases.
Yeah,
I think.
Apparently.
For those of you just joining us for the first time ever, don't feel bad about missing that last episode because everyone else also did. Here's how the show works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves and cool people, but nowadays mostly coffee and jazz, write into that email address, TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com, with little notes, little comments, questions, topics, things like that. Servants. Draw the note cards out of the hat, read them on the air till we're bored, talk about, sorry, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the show.
That's the show.
Wait, did I miss it? I missed the bit about the hat magically transmogrifies.
Yeah, I think you did
those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. You would think the fact that I do this so
regularly. Wait, are you sure you missed it? Because I must have missed it, because you after that, you do the E thing.
Yeah.
And so you must have said that.
I must
have. Maybe we forgot you said it.
Here's the thing. I've done it so much now that I can do it in my sleep, but I can't do it awake. It's one of those that I can absolutely rattle off perfectly unless I think about it at all.
Well, I wasn't,
and then I ruin it.
I wasn't even paying attention to know.
Well, and that's the thing. I think it was fine. And then I thought about it.
I don't know what I was thinking about instead of listening to what you were saying. I'm probably looking candy. At one of the cats. I don't know what I was thinking.
Oh, I was thinking about candy.
All right, so you had a big, big week.
Not as big as you think.
But you went to Disney World.
No, I did not.
What, you didn't go?
I did not go.
Why?
Because on Friday, I woke up feeling very uncomfortable. My stomach felt very bad.
Mm.
And I was going to do, we were going to do a half day at work and then come home and then go get on a plane. And I was like, you know what? Since it's only going to be a half day anyway, I'll stay home. I'll rest up and be good. And so I told everybody that and I went back to bed. And like 4 hours later, I woke up. Got up to start doing things, and I could barely stand.
Oh,
like,
no.
I was just a disaster. I felt really, so like I had to put my pills in the little pill container, so I just took all my bottles of pills into the bed and just sort of fell on the bed. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to put them in here after I rest for a minute. And then I had to rest for a while. And then I got so nauseated that I threw up, and, like, I haven't thrown up like that in years.
What was wrong? What happened? Good. Just, like, a stomach flu or something?
I don't know. Trish thinks I had the flu. I was worried it was a food poisoning thing, because she had a recent similar kind of thing.
Mm.
So I don't know. But I was like, I am too sick to get on a plane. And I felt really bad about it. And then Trish said she's not going. And then I felt really bad about it. But I think it worked out well in general. I was clearly too sick. I got better pretty quickly. I was feeling better Saturday night. And by Sunday, I was pretty much not sick anymore. Trish, however, who had just been finishing off some issues, they got worse again. So she was pretty much sick the whole weekend.
Oh, no.
But that did bring up an interesting thing. Rarely do the two of us get, like, really sick at the same time. In fact, we only know of it happening one other time. It's very difficult because nobody can take care of anybody because we're all just terrible. And if you'll recall, that time, while suffering on our respective couches, we watched The Godfather, which I had not seen before.
Mm-hmm.
This time, while suffering on our respective couches, we watched a movie neither of us had seen before, 1988 John Carpenter classic, They Live.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You've seen this film?
Yes, I believe I have.
I had not seen this film. For those looking for a reference point, this is the movie starring Roddy Piper,
yeah, sure.
The wrestler.
With the famous quote in it about the bubblegum.
Yes. Here to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum. It is also famous
for the fight scene.
For the 10-minute fight scene.
Yeah.
Between two friends over one of them putting on a pair of sunglasses.
Yeah.
Because it's a movie where all the yuppies are actually aliens, and you can see that if you have the right sunglasses. And it is a hugely influential film.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of things, including the Wachowskis and all the Matrix shit, credit him as an influence and credit that film as an influence. And I knew all of this already. What I did not know is it is an objectively terrible film.
Yeah, it's very good.
It is really awful. And it is also homeless Roddy Piper wandering around L.A., then getting guns, continuing to wander around L.A. Once that part's done, the movie's like 3/4 of the way finished. Like, it is a lot of just homeless Roddy Piper.
The fight scene's pretty famous, though.
And kind of hilarious.
And it's not good enough if, like, you look it up on YouTube or something. I mean, you really do have to see it in the context
to
really appreciate it.
Yeah. But that whole scene leading up to it, like, the plot makes no sense. Roddy Piper, rest his soul, clearly a terrible actor based on this movie.
Yep.
However, Laurence goddamn Olivier could not have saved that part. It was just a train wreck from the beginning. Made no sense.
Did nobody tell you that it was a bad movie?
No.
Oh, well,
I knew it was an 80s sci-fi horror action, so I wasn't expecting much, but it's really bad.
Oh, yeah, it's
but
terrible.
It's also hilarious. Like, I recommend it strongly. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it anyway just to sort of build the zeitgeist.
It's legend.
But it's also hilariously bad. Like, it's a movie you can easily make fun of.
Yeah.
The second movie I would like to talk about, less so. There's probably a lot of
I'd seen that film
before.
And you'd never seen
no,
it?
I had not seen that film.
Well, I guess I was surprised that you hadn't seen Godfather 2.
Also.
Last
night, we watched Huntsman Winter's War.
Is that the second one?
Yes, is the what I thought was the prequel to Snow White and the Huntsman, but is in fact just a little bit prequel and then a bunch sequel.
Yeah. Well, we saw it only recently also.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Here's what I have to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not even fun awful.
No.
You should not see it. Full stop. Snow White and the Huntsman, which, as you recall, was not a movie I liked, much better. I would recommend that if you want a thing where you don't have to think and you just get cool fantasy special effects. Watch that one. Do not watch this one.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Really, just on a variety of levels. The only thing I enjoyed about it is Rob Brydon is in it as a dwarf, which is weird as hell for me. And that was pretty fun to watch. And despite the fact that everyone has, frankly, offensively bad Scottish accents, he basically keeps his Welsh accent on the grounds that I'm sure most people wouldn't notice the difference. But it's just terrible. Don't see the second one. You don't really need to see the first one. Like, you can never see Snow White and the Huntsman in your whole life, and you'll be just as good a person as you were. Like, nothing comes out of that. But just actively don't watch the second
one. I mean, who wants to see these movies? I mean, these are films that when you watch them, to me anyway, I watch these films and I think to myself, who are they making these movies for? Because this is like, nobody wanted...
I feel like Snow White and the Huntsman made okay money. I feel like it wasn't a complete financial flop. And then I think people were just like, Chris Hemsworth is big right now.
But what was interesting about it?
I mean, nothing. Nothing at all. But there's a lot of popular movies that aren't interesting, so.
Yeah, how does that happen?
But no, I was full expecting this movie to suck. And it sucked. It surprised me with its suckiness. Dumb. The story makes no sense. The message in it is a combination of terrible and contradictory. It's boring. It's bad. Yeah, don't see it. Don't see it.
Not interesting.
That's a shame. I'm still playing Rebel Galaxy. I kind of hit a point where I'm like, I should see how much is left, because I'm getting a little tired of it. But I think I'm close to the end, so I'm going to try and power through. But it's been fun.
So did you guys just have to eat the cost of the airplane tickets and everything?
We did have to eat the cost of the airplane ticket. In something that surprised me, and I'm very pleased, and I should credit Disney, because I seldom credit Disney for anything, they completely refunded my mother-in-law all the other stuff. So that's awesome.
Boy, I'm really disappointed that you weren't able to go, because I think you would have had a really great time.
Oh, yeah, no, I was on it. I know that I've been a little sketchy about the whole thing, but I was really kind of getting excited the last couple of days. I was looking up stuff and things.
Yeah.
And so I was really bummed. And we will do it again. I mean, we'll definitely do it, because I do want to check it out. But
I'm sorry that,
but then
that you guys
I, and so I, and I went back to work instead. Trish let me open some of my birthday gifts as they arrived in the mail to sort of compensate. And they were awesome. And apparently I still have more coming, but they were awesome. And they included, where'd I put it? It's over here somewhere. Oh, I think it's under there. The hardbound collection of the Sandman comics that Gaiman recently wrote, the prequel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that. And two giant-headed plastic figurines of Dorothy's Borneck and Rosen Island.
What do you mean, like vinyl or something?
Yeah.
Oh.
They're like, you see them in like comic shops and stuff. They're all these like big head, chibi looking things. They made them of the Golden Girls. So I got those two. I don't know if any more are coming. I think not. I think she couldn't get a hold of all of them or whatever. But assuming they don't show up, I'm totally going to go get the others. I need my Sophia Petrillo and my Blanche Devereaux. But I have my B. Arthur and my Betty White at work currently. I don't know that they'll stay there. They're too fun. I like to have them around with me.
She just had a birthday, right? Betty did.
She did on Tuesday. Turned 95. Apparently there's a reboot of Golden Girls in the works.
A reboot?
Yep.
Who's going to be in it?
I don't think they've gotten that far.
Who would you like to see in it?
Or nobody. Just, I don't think it should be done.
You don't want them to
I'm
do
at
it.
The point now I don't think anything should be rebooted. Although I am intrigued at this Archie comics reboot.
You are?
Not enough to watch it.
This I was about to use it as an example of something that people are making that nobody asked for.
No, I'm just fascinated in like train wreck kind of way. Yeah, like they don't know who you watched the cracked response video, I take it?
Well, I mean, yes, I did watch that, but I've
no, but
I've
I
seen
love
other
that
things,
thing that
basically.
They're shooting for a demographic that both read old Archie comics and watches CW teen dramas now, and that's like two people in the world.
Well, I looked it up. Archie comics go back to like
the '50s, I think.
Yeah.
1938. Oh, geez.
The earliest Archie.
But to be fair, they are literally still being made.
Yes, the earliest Archie comics weren't based on the '50s. They were based on those Mickey Rooney movies where he and Judy Garland, you know,
played
those characters, and the solution to every problem was to put on a show and all that stuff.
Put on a show.
But that's the 40s. I mean, that's not... That's like... When my dad was reading Archie comics, they'd already been around for over a decade, so it's like, wow. So, but I mean, I saw stuff about it before the Cracked video, and I was already thinking, who thought this would be a good idea?
When I saw that, I was like, oh my god.
Well, and then I've seen pictures of the guy who's playing Archie, and it's clearly a guy who's not a redhead.
No.
Why would they do that?
Guy playing Jughead doesn't look like Jughead. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But we're watching Emerald City also.
Oh yeah, so are we. And the pilot was very intriguing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more recent episode kind of sucked.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of nervous now.
Yeah, watching Emerald City. But that's another one that... It's another show that, on the surface of it, you're thinking, who wanted this? Like, how did you pitch this to someone and they thought, oh yeah, everyone's just going to eat this
people
up?
People think name credit is a bit... Because, like, Emerald City seems good insofar as I just pretend I've never heard of The Wizard of Oz when I'm watching it. Because they're too far from the source material for it to really be that story, but they're just name-checking all over the fucking place, and it's really kind of annoying.
Well, but it's not quite that bad. I mean, as someone who's read the material recently, they're telling the story. I mean, you know, they're following the narrative, and that's more than I can say for a lot of things like this, which do what you just said, which was basically they're telling a completely different story, but they're dropping a bunch of place names and person names for marketing purposes, it seems like. No, they're telling the story. They're trying to tell the story.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, every...
I'll admit, I've only read synopses of the original book and seen the movie, of course.
No.
And none of this bears any familiarity.
Oh, no, no. All. Well, they're telling the story. I'll give them that much. I'll give them credit for that. Because that's one of the reasons I wanted to see it. Because I wanted to know, okay, is this just someone came up with their own little story, couldn't sell it to anybody until they changed all the names to match The Wizard of Oz, and they thought that they could push it that way.
So, The Eternal Warriors, The Abject Prison, Tip being sick and locked up, like, all these things are from the book?
No, except the Tip part.
Tip's in the book?
It's second book.
Okay.
And everything about Tip's story is pretty much the same, except Jack is not a regular person. But see, that's so far they've taken the stories as they are in the book, and they've said, all right, well, let's change the things that will make it less silly and more adult. For example, we're not going to have talking inanimate objects and talking animals, which is reasonable. And then once we do that, let's, you know, the thing they're doing with the quote-unquote scarecrow character, pretty predictable, but, you know, at least that's fine. No, I mean...
Stuff with the wizard is accurate?
Yes, the wizard initially was a kind of a bad guy.
And forbade magic and everything?
And
saved everyone from the beast forever?
Magic is forbidden in Oz through the entire Frank Baum run.
Really?
Yeah, even when the wizard's gone, magic is forbidden except by certain individuals.
I know y'all think we're spoiling the fuck out of this, but we're basically spoiling the first, like, 10 minutes of the pilot.
But the whole thing with the big statues or whatever, not in the books. Mm-hmm. The Beast Forever thing, not in the books. They changed, but like when you're going through, you probably didn't notice this because maybe a lot of people don't know this, but when she's going through Munchkin Land and there's blue all over the place, well, that's true to the books.
Okay.
Blue is a big color in that area, but it's not a tribal area. It's an agricultural area,
which held over into like the
Wicked.
Yeah. Wicked.
Now, the wizard's kind of a bad guy in those books.
Yes, those are definitely altered. Those are altered. Well, first of all, it's telling a very different story.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling a story quite tangential to The Wizard of Oz. And also, it's done in the style of, at least to me, it was very much of, here's what happened, but you can see how, over the years, that would be changed to the story you're familiar
with.
Right, right. They don't explicitly say that, but there's a lot of stuff like that. And to be fair, I never finished that series.
Well, in the first two books that Baum wrote, the wizard is a bad guy.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy in the first book, but you're kind of more sympathetic to him toward the end. But in the second book, he's absent, and what you learn of him in his absence is pretty much unconditionally bad. It's only later that Baum must have decided, well, people like this character, so I'll bring him back and I'll rehabilitate him and he'll be a good guy. And so for most of the books, he shows up and he's this, you know, jovial old man or whatever.
I'm assuming the opium stuff and the brothel stuff is probably not in the original.
What it looks like they're doing with the opium thing is, someone must have thought, well, you know, you've got
poppies will make them sleep.
Well, but I think they're sort of copying what people do with Alice in Wonderland and mushrooms.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you've got Alice in Wonderland and mushrooms. Let's have Wizard of Oz and poppies. So, as far as the whole brothel thing, of course, no, that's not in the books. However,
it's not in the early 20th century children's.
They're kind of the aspect where Glinda has a whole bunch of girls. Well, they're young girls.
Yep.
So you presume chaste. So to make them, their portrayal of Glinda and her girls is, that's kind of spot on. The movie mythos comes into it when they make her the Witch of the North, because in the book she's the Witch of the South.
Okay.
But the films kind of make her the Witch of the North instead. So now on the TV show she's the Witch
of the
North.
Where the Quadlings live?
The Quadlings are in the South.
She was over there.
Oh. In the books, she's in the South.
Hmm.
But somehow in the movie, she ended up being of the North, and so in the TV show, they made her of the North also, and then they're playing on the whole
thing. I feel like a lot of it is just name recognition. So, but I will say, visually, it's very impressive.
So then I think they just said, well, if we're going to make Glinda in the North, and we're going to turn all of her young girls into, like, chaste, almost nuns, well, let's just do the opposite with the West, and she's, you know, which is a little simplistic, but
at a point now where the Wicked Witch, thanks to Wicked, both the book and the musical, the Wicked Witch of the West has to be sympathetic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
so the Witch of the East, obviously, she plays a bigger role in the TV show than in the book. She's dead. Just like in the film, she's dead immediately, and there's very little talk of her even. And actually, that's another thing. In the books, the Witch of the West she's hardly in the first book at all.
Mm.
The film with Judy Garland, they made the witch a bigger deal, which I think was a smart move. I think it created one of the most interesting villains in film history. And so that's also a nod to the film to have her in the TV show being a bigger character than she was in the book. But Tip in the TV show, that's all. That's
okay, because I had never heard of that.
The woman that Tip's living with, Mombi, all that. The only difference is that Jack...
Actually, you say it, and I do remember the name Mombi from the books.
Jack is a human person in the TV show. In the book, Jack is a... Tip built this sort of stick person and put a pumpkin jack-o'-lantern head on top of it.
Oh, yeah, he shows up in Return to Oz.
And brought it to life. And that's what Jack Pumpkinhead is what... But he's just a regular
person. Return to Oz scared the crap out of me.
So yeah, they're telling the story. And not only that, but I think they're telling the story in ways that, like I said, if you're going at this and saying, all right, let's get rid of the talking animals and objects, they're doing it in about the only way you could do it. The only problem I had with the pilot was I couldn't understand why Dorothy was so cool with everything so quickly. I mean, if they're going almost toward a realistic adult angle to the story, she seemed to get in, seemed to conform to what was going on around her fairly easily.
My theory is that, to a degree, they are doing she's a much grittier character than sort of any version of Dorothy before. But my theory is they're also going to make her a more morally gray character. You don't really like her.
But I mean, she doesn't really question.
But it seems kind of deliberate.
She doesn't really question things around her very much. Like, she's just accepting.
She's just excited that everything's in color now.
I don't know, it just seemed weird.
No, to me, she just strikes me as somebody who's just really pissed off about it. It's not that she's like, fine, she's just like, I don't care. I just want to go. whatever, exciting magic, let's just go.
You'd think she'd be a little freaked out or something, I don't know.
That is the constant struggle in TV and film, is how do people react to discovering that the fantastical exists?
Well,
they've tried every version.
Yeah, I do have a feeling that the people making the show just decided, look, let's just skip that part. It's going to bug a few people, but they'll forget about it eventually. Let's just skip it. Well, and
only William will be bothered.
Yeah, and besides that, they are incorporating things from the film, and in the film, she dreamed it all.
Yeah.
And she is acting a little bit like someone who's just dreaming.
Well, and I did notice, although I couldn't place them all, but the little time we had in her Kansas life, those are the same actors, right? I thought the doctor she talked to was the same actor who plays the Scarecrow analog.
I don't think so.
A different thing. Okay.
I don't think so. I don't think they did that.
Well, I don't know what the fuck's going on. You watching Taboo?
No.
You probably wouldn't like it. I've only seen one episode.
I will probably try it, but I don't know. We haven't watched it yet.
Tom Hardy and old-timey British and limited run series all just sort of the trifecta for me to watch something. But, of course, they're also lying. They're like, no, there'll totally be a second season. I'm like, fuck you guys. But it sounds like it may be a second season that's like a sort of a different story. Maybe, I don't know. I think they're kind of talking out their ass at this point. But the pilot was quite interesting. Immediately followed, they had the coming up this season thing. All of that looked way worse. So I'm a little nervous about that. We have not watched last night's episode. We are caught up finally on Elementary. I am both liking and disliking this season. I feel like the writing is not as tight this season, but they're also doing things that, like, are making me uncomfortable, but they're things that, like they're doing that on purpose. I think I'm supposed to feel uncomfortable, and it's kind of impressive that they are doing that. So that's still fun. That's all I got. What have you been going on for 2 weeks, 12 weeks? How long has it been since we actually recorded an episode that we put out? It's been like 4 weeks or something, hasn't it?
A
long-ass time.
Yeah, it's been a while. Well, I mean, I, I don't even remember all the stuff we talked about last time, so because it was a lot of stuff. A lot of media-oriented stuff.
We had already covered Rogue One, I think, in an earlier episode. Yeah, we did, because Jazz commented on it.
No, I mean, you know, all I've got is things that have been happening this past week, and it's not really anything to... I mean, we were talking about Emerald City. I wasn't even sure I was going to talk about that. We'll keep watching it.
What's coming up that you're going to watch?
I don't know. I mean, as far as this year's concerned, we're looking forward to the last season of Bates Motel, but other than that...
We're definitely watching Powerless.
Oh, yeah. February 2nd. We're going to watch that, too.
And we're definitely at least going to start watching Legion. I'm nervous because I'm so over X-Men. And this is Legion. Do you not know about this? Fox has it. And I found out, apparently it's actually based off of a real character in the Marvel Universe. But it's basically a guy who's in a mental institution thinking he has delusions and he's crazy. But in reality, he's got powers. And it's a pretty interesting looking cast. And yeah, I mean, there's some known things with it, but I feel like it, I don't want to spoil just in case. And I don't know that they'll stick to it in the show or not. But he is, like I said, they actually picked a character that exists in the Marvel Universe. And so I don't know that this will ever tie into any of the movies or anything, but this is the X-Men universe, basically. I talked about Deadpool, I think, in the episode that we missed. We saw Deadpool.
No, I think you talked about that a couple episodes ago. All
right. Not much to say, anyway.
But are you going to see Logan when it's out? There's
no.
A big new trailer.
I didn't see X-Men Origins. I didn't see The Wolverine. I don't know why I'd see Logan. Although, apparently, it's going to be awesome. But
I guess. People are already complaining about it because there's a young girl in it.
I hate young girls.
Everybody does, apparently. I don't know why so many people freak out when there's a female lead or a female hero or whatever. It's like, what?
How it was in the books.
Actually, in this case, it was in the comic books. But if it was a little boy doing all the same things, nobody would say anything.
Oh, yeah, no,
why does it? I just cannot.
Because are still confident. There are a lot of people who still confidently believe that women can't do the same things as men.
But that's not what they're saying. They're saying that, oh, this is just PC or whatever. Like, it's like they expect.
No, that's not what they're saying, but that's what they believe.
Well, yeah, but it...
That's the basis for it.
It's as if they think that someone wrote this for a little boy first, but then some feminist came along and said, oh, you should make it a little girl.
Absolutely.
And someone said, okay, fine. Where did they get this delusion that everything's written for white men, and so when it doesn't
because
feature
so
a white
much
man
of it had been, and also because they believe that boy is awesomeness. My nephew will see cool movies, and you ask him about his favorite character, and if he's not paying enough attention, he may say a female character, but later, he will always retract that and pick a boy character to be his favorite. And we all tell him, at least overtly, including his parents, that it's fine to like a girl. But no, he always switches to a male character.
Well, another thing we watched since I talked to you last was Justice League Action. It's an animated, you know, like 20-minute things. It's supposed to be almost like a Justice League, Brave and the Bold. You know, they did that Batman Brave and the Bold animated thing, which was great. And so this was supposed to be along the same lines, except Justice League. And it's. I mean, you know, if there are more episodes, we'll keep watching it.
Justice League, the Brave, the Bold, the Green, and the Talks to Fish.
It's definitely... I mean, it's not... It's you really feel like they're making it specifically for little boys. There are female...
Which they totally might be.
There are female characters, but there's like one female character in each episode, like a token female character.
Yeah.
I mean, I think several of the episodes wouldn't even pass the Bechdel test because there aren't more than one female character. And Wonder Woman has like thigh-high boots. I don't think I've ever seen a version of Wonder Woman where her boots were thigh high before, and the skirt type thing she wears is so short that there are some scenes where, you know, the shot of her talking to somebody or whatever, you could swear that is that covering all of her? I can't see the back of her, but just, you know, it doesn't seem so. It seems like a fairly sexualized. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a kid's cartoon, it seems like a fairly sexual, and there are plenty of other female characters that are definitely sexualized, and hardly, you know, you don't see the female character in there very much. The Wonder Woman character is not very interesting. I mean, I like Superman in it and Batman in it. They're great. In fact, all the male characters are great now that I think about it, but most of the female characters don't get a lot of anything except looking a certain way. And this is really disappointing because, for not just because of the obvious reasons, but because I know that DC put some effort into figuring out what young girls would like to see, say, in an animated cartoon feature. Because that's what made them go and make Superhero Girls.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this before, and you probably remember me saying I was a little worried that one of the reasons they made Superhero Girls was so they could throw that to the girls and then not worry about them anymore. Mm-hmm. And Justice League Action is kind of proving that that's exactly what
they
were
doing. And sometimes they get somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing, and you come up with stuff like Young Justice. But then you get rid of it.
Yeah, so I'm pretty disappointed in it. Like I said, we'll probably keep watching it, but it's like, you guys know, if you were making this for kids, not just boys, but just kids, you did all the market research, and you've had success with Superhero Girls, so you know what to do with the female heroes in this show. Put as many as there are males, give them good roles, you know, whatever, and they seem to have deliberately not done that. Like, okay, well, girls can have superhero girls and boys will have Justice League Action. Well, that's not what you should be doing, but that seems to be what they're doing. And I don't like it. But
comparatively, for you, this is remarkably close to, here's a shitty, though predictable thing that a company did, which is an impressive step for you in the past. Because normally you would have come to this just absolutely no idea how this possibly could have happened.
Well,
I feel like you're growing.
No, but
you're learning the suckiness of humanity.
But remember, I was skeptical about Superhero Girls to begin with because I didn't understand why, when they did this research, it didn't just lead them to doing different things with the titles they already
had. This is also awesome because skepticism is a new thing for you, too. I feel like you're growing. I feel like you're coming over to the dark side, and I appreciate that.
Well,
you're
anyway.
Learning. If for no other reason than that, I don't have to explain to you again that people suck, and that's why it's like this. So, I like... You're my little boy's growing up.
Oh, stop it.
Is this the little boy I can...
I just wish my cynicism about it wasn't rewarded by an actual, you know...
So, the other day, Trish was late in the morning. Trish can't schedule well, so I have to give her a minute in the morning. So, I get up first, and I take a shower, and all that, and then I bring her some pills, and say good morning, and all that, and then I tell her how many minutes she has until she has to be in the shower. And the other morning, she was really bad, like, she was super late getting in the shower. And I'm like, what is going on? And so she starts explaining to me what happened, and she's counting it off by the minute, because the clock was right there, so she knew what was happening. So she's like, at 7:37, and for some reason that immediately, for like the rest of the day, I had in my head, at 5 I went to Hebrew school, at 10 I learned a trade, here they pick. So like, Fiddler on the Roof is already in there. So now when I see you all grown up, I'm like, okay. Sunrise, yes, sunset. What? Really? Yeah. That's weird. Well, I'm just like, I wouldn't tell them what I did at 7:37. No, I'm kind of intrigued by this. William will flip out.
Yeah, maybe I don't need to know.
Okay.
Well, there's no cone of silence.
Well, honestly... long-time listeners should be able to put together the pieces from what we just said. And the rest of you will go back and listen, and then you'll be able to figure it out. Oh, boy. Everyone who's not me, not everyone, but a large chunk of my gaming group, and Coffee, and the producer, on Tuesday night, went to see the new Underworld movie. Apparently it was pretty good for being, you know, super dumb.
Sure.
Series like that. How many of those have you seen?
I believe I've seen all of them.
Really?
Yeah, we'll probably see this
Even
one.
The crappy fourth one?
Yeah, I'm sure we've seen them all.
I've been saying for a while that AV Club has a feature called Run the Series, where they watch an entire series of movies and then talk about, like, the evolution of it and which ones are best and stuff like that. And they've done great ones. Like, they have the entire Phantasm series. They have all of the Witchcraft series. They have some weird, like, French art film series that I'm not even familiar with. I think the Problem Child movie thing. And I was like, they should do one on Underworld. Next day, they did it. So I read it. And they actually think the first one is the worst.
We tried. But
they, like me, agree that the third one is the best because that thing is awesome. That thing is ridiculous.
We tried to watch Magicians or whatever. It's up on Netflix.
Ooh, yeah.
It's kind of a... I mean, you read the books or something,
I did read the books, and then I started watching the TV show, and then I stopped watching the TV show.
Because it's
I feel that the TV show did not do fairly to the books.
Because the TV show is hipster douchebag Harry Potter is what it is.
Kind of, yeah. Well,
why would anybody watch
and
that?
And a thing, because that's another feature on AV Club, and I read one recently comparing, because it does... It's called Page to Screen, and it's, you know... And actually, they did a really interesting one involving the Grinch. But anyway, they did one on the Magicians, and they point out, like, a large part of the point of the Magicians series is magic can't fix everything. Like, having amazing magical power doesn't make your life good, necessarily. Like, that there are other things to it. It's not a cure.
The books aren't a Harry Potter ripoff?
No.
Okay.
Because that's the thing. That's how everybody sold it to me. Everybody's like, it's adult Harry Potter. It's college instead of high school. No. They do go to a magical school. They graduate halfway through the first book of the trilogy. But the TV show is also way more focused on... Their version of it is magic is a drug. Which is a totally different theme to go with. And I think I talked about it before, there is some problematic stuff involving the character of Julia in the trilogy. It is not gratuitous, in my opinion. It is lazy male writing, kind of like a lot of Dresden stuff. In the TV show, it becomes way more problematic, and I do not like how they handled her character. But I also didn't like how they handled Quentin's character. Although he's a douchebag in both the books and the movies. But that's kind of the point in the books, is that he's a douchebag. No, I would recommend the books, not that you read fiction. But, yeah, I did not like the TV show. Although other people did, it's coming back.
It's boring.
Also true.
And I didn't care about anything
and
that was
weirdly arbitrary, like, I understand TV is going to do different than books and stuff like that. They are weirdly arbitrary in the stuff they changed and didn't change. And yeah. Yeah, it's bad. I didn't like it.
We watched something called Crazy Heads, I think it's called.
Oh, how is that? I just noticed today when texting somebody that somebody had texted me the phrase Crazy Head on Netflix and nothing else, and I never even saw it until just now.
Well, it's not going to change your life or anything, but it's really pretty entertaining. My wife really liked it. This woman starts to, when she looks at certain people, they look not quite right. Mm. Almost like they live people, but in this case, they're demons, and she runs into another person that can sort of tell who the demons are. But
isn't this a Stephen King novel called Angel Eyes or something?
I don't know, but they end up, you know, things happen from that point on. They fight them and all kinds of other things. But it's a comedy.
Oh.
It's British. British comedy.
I have seen Netflix trying to sell me on this. Yes.
It's not earth-shattering or anything, but it's...
Well, could be. You didn't watch Stand Against Evil, right? It's on IFC. I don't think you get IFC.
No, I didn't.
Did I talk about that at all?
It sounds familiar.
Half-hour comedy, and the big thing in it is the two main people are Janet Varney, who is a comedian who's really coming into her own right now and who I'm a big fan of, and John C. McGinley. And it's small town, and the town is cursed because they're like a New England town, and back in the day they burned a bunch of witches, and so the town's been cursed. And so the constable of the town gets murdered under mysterious circumstances every time, except for the current constable, who somehow survived, played by John C. McGinley. His wife dies, and he has a big public meltdown, and so he has to step down from the position, and Janet Varney's character comes in to take it. And what we find out is the reason he's survived is because his wife is some sort of freaking, like, supernatural witch hunter or whatever who's been saving him all this time. But now she's dead, so now all the bad things want to kill him and the new sheriff, and hijinks ensue. And it's a totally goof comedy show. And it's created by Dana Gould. And I don't know how I feel about it. It's getting another season. But it's one of those, it's like, they're half-hour episodes. There were only, like, 8 in the season. So I'm like, it was fine enough to watch, but I don't know. They're really leaning heavily on the John C. McGinley's just cranky and old. And I'm like, yes, we all loved his character on Scrubs, but he's so much more than that. So, yeah, I don't know how I feel about it, but... But this makes me think of that, because it's another one of those regular people fighting evil kind of thing.
It's all right. I mean, you know, two strong female leads that are friends, and they're fairly well portrayed, I guess. One of them's a woman of color. That's always good for representation. I mean, like I said, it's just not going to change your life, but it's entertaining if you want to give it a try. Maybe you'll like it. I don't know.
I got a lot of things I got to try.
I know. There's a lot of stuff out there.
Powerless Legion. I felt like there's one more that's coming up that we want to watch, but I can't remember. We should have, because we don't have a lot of time left. Ben Pineapple Apple Pen. Neuroduck greeted me this morning with a text that was just the emojis for Pen Pineapple Apple Pen. So I wrote back and said, dance time.
Coffee has a question.
Coffee? No way. We hardly ever hear from her.
What's the difference?
We should change the show to Coffee Talk. We might get sued.
What's the difference between life and existence? I mean, does this mean like the difference between living or merely existing? Or
yes, apparently, if I remember my Mr. Belvedere correctly, according to our new arrival, life is more than mere survival. How is Mr. Belvedere not on in syndication all the time?
I don't know.
That show was awesome.
I didn't really watch it, so.
I watched anything that had a British person in it, basically. That's kind of still true. Yeah, the answer to me is semantics. Is the difference. The two are synonyms. I don't know. Yeah, I don't have a lot to say on that. What about you?
Well, I mean, again, assuming that we're talking about, you know, how it's often expressed in various stories or movies or whatever.
Mr. Belvedere.
Or when people are just talking to one another, I don't know, to say, look, you know, you can't just exist, you have to live.
And what's on the China.
What's really
never
meant?
Never mattered before. Who cared?
What's really meant by that? Well, what do you think is meant by that when you hear it?
When you drop kicked your jacket.
You just think
as
that
you came through
it doesn't mean anything. It's just something they say in TV shows.
Yeah, no, I think it's bullshit.
It's a precious thing people say. Doesn't
mean
anything.
Really living, you're just existing. No, because I've really, really been turning into the skid of my lack of faith and my burgeoning misanthropy lately, and just everything about humanity and humanity itself is just sort of a random coincidence. And it's weird how much meaning we put onto it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's weird that we don't... I'm doing the Valley Girl thing. It's weird that we don't acknowledge that fact.
You mean that we're creating this meaning, yes, rather than it coming from some cosmic source?
Arbitrarily.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Creating this meaning.
As if
everything, to the degree that, like, I recently have been playing with the idea of art and potentially also included in that humor as evolutionary traits. Because at a certain point, you just don't need more. It probably started with men, because you don't need more sperm. You've got enough. So, what if you suck at every practical skill? How do you convince them to not just leave you in a ditch somewhere? And he's like, oh no, he makes me laugh. Or like, no, he draws those really cool pictures. You remember? Those are awesome. Like, that's probably how it happened. Because why the hell else do we need that shit, you know?
Well,
it was to prove your worth as a animal.
No, it's more complicated than that.
Well, there is an argument, yeah, that it also works to unpack some of the stuff that comes with a large brain.
But all of everything you're talking about is really looking at it from a psychological perspective or an economic perspective. There's a social perspective here of social bonds and how telling stories, and you know, the story doesn't have to be funny, but it can be. Why shouldn't it be funny? That's another question. Why shouldn't it be a funny story rather than a scary story or a boring story? Telling stories is a way that we construct a collective consciousness. And
why do we do that?
Because we're tribal people.
Why are we tribal people?
Well, that part is probably, you know, just part of evolution.
And that's what I'm talking about. Obviously, once we got a goddamn village, of course we have Joe the funny guy. I'm saying when we were just short Ugg and girl Ugg,
mm-hmm,
around the campfire.
Sure.
Ugg's handling the reproductive situation here. Why should short Ugg stick around? He's clearly not as good at anything.
No, but the question is, why shouldn't he?
Because we have limited resources. Because we're Ugg and short.
No, that's the problem. Limited resources. The fact of the matter is, three people can produce, gather, whatever, can manage to bring to the group more than the three people are going to need. It's not like, okay, there's X amount of resources, and every person we add. Think of it more this way. The resources are mostly limited by the amount of labor you have. So adding a person isn't a bad thing. Adding a person is a good thing because they can do work and they can bring something to the group. You know, people often think about it in terms like, well, we can't have more people coming because that's a problem. That's more mouths to feed, but it's also more hands to work. And that actually is more valuable and can make up for the food aspect of it. And so there's not going to be a default value of, well, fewer is better. There's actually probably a default value of more is better.
Then at what point, why did Ugg develop his art? Which weirdly was ukulele YouTube videos back then.
Okay, because...
Short Ugg, not regular Ugg. What? And short boy Ugg. Okay, that seems fair.
All right.
So why did short boy Ugg,
okay, because
develop his tight 10-minute stand-up routine?
Because storytelling is as much a human need as food and all the other things. It's always been part of it. There wasn't a time where we didn't have storytelling, but we had people. They go together. When there wasn't storytelling, there wasn't people. And vice versa.
And what do you base that off of?
the sociological theory that this is how human consciousness and humanity in general emerges, through symbolic interaction. Like before you have humanity in the evolutionary scheme, like with chimpanzees or primates or whatever, you can see them using significant gestures in sociological theory called significant gestures, but they don't use significant symbols. And it's not a coincidence that because they don't have significant symbols, they also don't have a level of consciousness that human beings have. Until you get those significant symbols, you don't have that human level behavior and interaction and, you know, tool making and all the other stuff. So storytelling and humanity, one doesn't come before the other. They have to emerge together for there to be not just humanity, but for there to be any sentient species. That was how it would have to be. Storytelling is the foundation or is integral to it, the whole process.
Gotta say, I'm fairly certain I agree with you, but the absolute nature of the language you use is very off-putting.
What do you mean?
That you're like, this is clearly what happened. Because we don't know. This is a sociological theory. I'm pretty sure you haven't got proof to back this up.
Well,
it makes good sense, but you're saying this like, obviously, this is what happened. There's no other possible interpretation.
Well, I'm saying it's a theory that creates hypotheses that lead to certain studies in sociology and psychology that have confirmed the hypothesis. Well, I mean, you know, not proven it, but supported it. I mean, it's not just a naked idea out there. It's got support.
It just feels kind of off-putting, the sort of intensity, because a subtext to that is the idea I just had is clearly wrong. Like, that there's just no room for the idea, because clearly this is how it went down.
Well, I didn't mean to offend you.
No, I absolutely know. And that's, with anyone else, I wouldn't say this, because with anyone else, I would assume they were smug assholes. In your case, I'm saying
all right, well,
your wording choice was bad, and I'm giving you helpful advice.
Okay, all right.
Because I know that's not how you feel.
All right, well, my apologies.
It's okay. I'll let it slide this time. Next time, I'm going to shoot you.
But you don't like guns.
I know. That's how... Like, I'm willing to do that for you, because you're my friend.
Okay.
I'll pick one up. I've been thinking about that recently, as I'm, like, just sick of everything and everyone. I'm like, what if I suddenly became a gun guy? Like, I've just decided that I don't like guns. I could totally tomorrow be like, no, I'm going to go to the shooting range.
Yeah.
And I could get way into guns. Because I get way into fake guns. I get way into, like in role-playing games and stuff, I get totally into what gun I'm carrying.
Sure, I know,
like,
that.
So I've thought about, like, what if I just become a gun guy? Mostly, I think what's stopping me is what stops me from everything is, like, it sounds like effort.
Right, but I mean, you... In the past, you've expressed, you know, something just short of a phobia of guns. Like,
yes.
And that seems pretty significant.
Yeah. It always came from principles, though.
Oh, not from you actually, like, understanding that if you have a gun on your property, that there's actual real statistics that increase the probability of a disaster happening.
And I do think that it's dumb to do like that, especially if I had kids around or whatever. But,
yeah.
No, it mostly comes from principles that I'm like, that guns to me counter the very things we're talking about in forming of society. To me, guns are very antithetical to human interaction. Because they are so unfair, essentially. Because they are so... They take humanity out of the equation really easily. A toddler... who pulls the wrong trigger, you know, can kill anybody.
Dehumanizing.
Exactly. Mm. But as time goes on, and I give less and less of a shit about humanity, I'm like, guns are pretty cool.
So, well, there are plenty of people who have tons of respect for humanity who still think guns are pretty cool.
Yes. No, because they probably don't have the same feeling I do about them. But that's what I'm saying, like, that feeling hasn't changed. I just don't care so much about dehumanization. I don't know. Well, we got a couple minutes, I was going to say. So, and I didn't really want to talk about this, but tomorrow the new president gets inaugurated. And that sucks. And, you know, I really believe in this vigilance stuff, and we got to keep up. But I'll tell you, it's ruining me. Like, the world looks so bleak to me the more I keep up on the news now.
Yeah, I know.
Like, really badly. To the degree that I am considering opting out.
A lot of people do that.
But the consolation I give myself is we are also donating. We're going to be donating. We finally have put together the spreadsheet. There's literally a spreadsheet of charities of who we're going to donate to. And it's not insignificant amounts of money.
Mm.
And there's like a dozen charities involved.
Mm.
And I'm considering essentially a republic form of vigilance where I can't do it for my own sanity, but I can donate resources to groups and people that I do believe can do it.
I think that's fair.
I might be heading that way.
I think that's perfectly fair.
Well, I'll put it this way. I'm at the point now where I don't like almost any funny stuff about what Trump is doing. Because, oh my God, I didn't talk about this. Because I've turned into the villain from The Name of the Rose.
The villain from The Name of the Rose?
I never read the book, but I saw the movie.
I barely remember that film. I barely remember
it. I'm going to spoil the end.
Wasn't Christian Slater in that?
Christian Slater was a little baby in that.
And
Sean Connery as a Scottish Franciscan monk in France during the Inquisition, I think.
Wow!
But
boy, that's... Whew,
somebody's killing a bunch of people.
In the film.
In the film.
Yeah.
I don't know how well the book stands up, but in the film, somebody's killing a bunch of monks.
Yeah, a bunch of monks.
And in fact, they make it look like God's doing it, because they're all showing up in ways that look like it's the apocalypse, I believe. Or the rapture coming.
I don't even remember.
The signs match up. But we eventually figure out that the people who are dying are people who have been reading this particular Aristotelian text on comedy and on the importance of laughter. And in fact, early on in the film, Sean Connery's character talks about this, and the really old abbot, who's like freakishly old and his eyes are just giant cataracts at this point, claims no such thing ever existed. And nobody has a copy, so they can't disprove it. But it turns out there is a copy, and people are reading it, and I think he poisoned the page. The abbot did it. He poisoned the pages so they would die.
Yeah, that's right.
And his reasoning is he thinks laughter is dangerous because when you start laughing at things, you then can move to laughing at the devil, and when you laugh at the devil, you're no longer scared of him, and he can exploit that. And I found myself the other day explaining why I'm getting tired of people laughing at Trump. Because I'm like, he's not funny. He's causing trouble. And I was like, and holy shit, I'm that abbot from Name of the Rose. We're all laughing at the devil, and that makes us not scared of him, and we should be scared of him. And despite this realization that I'm the giant, old, freaky, Dark Ages abbot, not giant, tiny, but giant, old, really old, Dark Ages abbot murderer from that shitty movie. Actually, it's a good movie, but it's not a good movie. But you should watch it. It's kind of awesome. Despite the fact that I've turned into him, I am not changing that belief one iota. We need to stop laughing at Trump. I know it's hard, but we need to stop laughing because there's some serious shit going down.
Okay, but the difference between you and the abbot is you're talking about a real dangerous person, and the abbot wasn't.
I love that that's your go-to, and not the difference between me and the abbot is I'm not murdering people.
Well, yes.
I love that that's like the secondary.
You're talking about getting a gun, so I don't know.
I'm just into guns. It doesn't mean...
But the part of the reason the abbot started killing people was because he was talking about a fake entity.
Yes.
This is a real person who you can do real things about besides killing people. And
can I poison his website somehow so people go there and their fingers turn black?
I think his website's already poisoned enough.
Also, Name of the Rose taught us that every single monk, when they read, licks their finger before they turn the page. Every single one. We are way over time, so if you'd like to tell us how to laugh at the devil, go to the blog, themagicstockinghat.com, or talk about how mean I was to William, or how much you loved the Huntsman Winter's War, or what your favorite pizza topping is. Most popular pizza topping in the U.S., pepperoni. Most popular pizza topping in Japan, octopus. I think second, corn in Japan.
Oh.
Also, mayonnaise is very popular. This is why I really love Japan, because they appreciate mayonnaise properly. We don't appreciate it enough here.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.